ברשות מרינה הרב שליזה. The Jews were allowed to resettle back in England under Oliver Cromwell in 1655. As I said last time, we're not doing history lessons, but we're going to interweave into historical facts our shiur. Was it 1656? Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, yes, there was some 350th anniversary not long ago, wasn't there? Shul was opened in Crete Church Lane in East London, where there is now a plaque. And later on, a larger shul was built and opened in 1701 by the name of Bevis Marks. Still having daily services, a most beautiful shul, and the very first Rav of Bevis Marks was appointed in 1701 by the name of Rav David Nieto. He was a Rosh Hashiva in Venice, but he was also a qualified doctor. And when he was appointed to become Rav of Bevis Marks, they made it a condition of his appointment that he gives up practicing medicine so that he can practice full-time as a Rav of the shul. His salary was to be £100 a year, which was quite a good salary in those days, and he was given a £10 bonus for Purim. Yes. Anyway, there's an interesting biography written about him by someone called Israel Solomons in 1915. A very detailed biography, fascinating in fact, regarding the various challenges which he came across when he was in England. The biggest challenge that he faced when he came to England was the fact that there were many Anusim or Muranos who had been emerging from Spain, often via Amsterdam, coming to England, who were compromising on Divrei Chazal and Dinim Drabonon. Alright, one can understand the predicament that these people were in, because many of them had been keeping Judaism in secret, but he needed to educate the masses, to teach them that you don't just keep the mitzvahs in the Chumash, and that you cannot even understand the Chumash on its own, you need the oral law. And his most famous work was the Kuzari Sheni, called Maseidon, the second Kuzari, but because of its magnitude, we won't have time to deal with that today, together with everything else, and we're going to do a separate shiur about the Kuzari Sheni in 2 months' time, when we finished our Events in England Part 3. So today, Events in England Part 2, although we mention that, there are other things also going on at his time. The Spanish Inquisition was still going on, and there was a famous auto da fé in Lisbon, Portugal in 1705, where a archbishop called the Archbishop of Cranganor gave a sermon to the Jews, giving them the choice of baptism or death. And Rav Nieto wrote a refutation against that sermon. And that has been reproduced in English since 1845, and I've got a copy here of his refutation to that sermon, as well as the sermon itself. He also wrote a sefer about the Hebrew calendar before he came here, when he was in Italy. That was his pet subject. He also faced problems of the followers of the Shabtai Tzvi. Although the Shabtai Tzvi had died about 40 years beforehand, there were quite a number of followers of his throughout Europe. And that was a great challenge to him. And he wrote a sefer called Eish Dos, a copy which I have here from the British Museum Library. And I know somebody in Yerushalayim who's trying to translate it into English. And Eish Dos is a very philosophical work about Judaism, which was a reactionary against specifically one individual called Nehemiah Hayun, who claimed to be a Kabbalist, an Orthodox preacher, and a rabbi, and he even managed to get Haskomos for his sefer called Oz Elohim from certain rabbis around Europe. And only later did these rabbis realize that he was a hoax. And it was Rav Nieto who was one of the early ones who discovered that this guy was a hoax. And he wrote his sefer Eish Dos directly against this fellow. There was another issue relating to a sermon which Rav Nieto gave in Bevis Marks about understanding Hashem and understanding nature, and I'll be dealing with that. And as a result of a controversy which erupted, he wrote a whole sefer in Spanish called De la Divina Providencia, Divine Providence, and we're going to try and deal with that. So we've got a lot to get through today. He did write other sforim about mikvos, and he wrote teshuvas, and the Chidor writes in his Shem HaGadolim that one of the great Gadolim of Europe was Rav David Nieto. It's some surprise, therefore, that very few people have heard of him, but we will now try and remedy that. The Shagas Aryeh, the very famous Shagas Aryeh of Metz, who wrote classics for him, used in the yeshiva world, he discovered 70 years after Rav David Nieto died that there were no copies left of his Kuzari Sheni, and he instructed that the sefer has to be reprinted and widely spread out, and made a takana that nobody else may print it within 8 years in order that the printer could regain his expenses. The famous Chacham Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi of Altona, Hamburg, and other places, wrote a teshuva in his Shalos Teshuvas, which we will deal with, about Rav David Nieto. So those were the various problems which he came across. And so when he arrived here in 1701, he was immediately smacked with these various challenges. So we'll start dealing with the Eish Dos. The Eish Dos against Nechemya Hayun, who was leaning towards the idea of Trinity in the Kabbalah. And this was something which he carried forward from the Shabtai Tzvi. The Shabtai Tzvi, you probably know, was turned out to be a hoax. He claimed he was the Mashiach, and in the end he converted to Islam. In fact, this Hayun, this Nechemya Hayun, his son, in fact, converted to Christianity. Just goes to show what sort of credentials these people had. But before all that happened, a lot of Jews were taken in with their fiery speeches and their persuasive ways. And this Nechemya Hayun claimed that you've got Trinity in the Torah itself. He claimed that because we have three meals on Shabbos, we say Kodosh three times, and we have Shacharis Mincha Maariv, there are various things which we have in threes. So he tried to point to the idea of Trinity. But he wasn't identical to the Christians in when he spoke about Trinity, because the Christians believe in Hashem being forever before and forever after. The idea of what they call the first cause. Whereas he was talking about God already being called a second cause, which is absolute abikorosus. And so in the Sefer of Eish Dos, which I've got here, but it's not easy going through, there was a version published in Spanish, for those who can speak Spanish, but the original was in Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore, he spoke about the idea of Hashem Echod Shema Echod. And it's interesting, because when you go into the various philosophical works, there are very few which actually deal with this. You know, the Kuzari Rishon of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, his emphasis on Emunah was based on revelation, on that we saw the miracles, the Eidos, that we came out of Egypt, and we saw the splitting of the Red Sea, and we saw what happened in Mitzrayim, and our Emunah is based upon primarily revelation, and not on creation. And that's the main thrust of the Kuzari. And what he does in Eish Dos is puts an emphasis not so much on revelation and on the miracles that we saw, but on the idea of one God. Because there are very few Sfarim. There is Rav Yosef Albo, who writes about one God in his Sefer, which he wrote 400 or 500 years beforehand. And Rav Nieto was very much a follower of Rav Yosef Albo, and he quotes him. And he talks about what is the idea of Hashem Echod Ushema Echod. You know, we can say that you go around and you see nature, and you see the wonders of nature, and you can see that there is an intelligence behind whatever you see. But how do you know that Hashem is one? Well, when I was a child, I was told by my father, well, if there would be two gods, Chas v'Shalom, they'd be constantly squabbling with each other. And although that might sound like a very balabatish approach, we can see that every country, says Rabbi Yosef Albo, is run by one king, or one prime minister, or one president. And when you do get a coalition government like we have now, you can see the friction that goes on. But he deals with this in a more sensitive way. And Rav Nieso in his HDOS talks about how you might explain Yiddishkeit, or the idea of one God, to somebody who's had nothing to do with religion whatsoever. He talks about the Chinaman or the Indian. And his other approach is to talk about the Jew who knows certain sources. So you don't actually describe Hashem by what he is, because we don't really know what he is. We find it very difficult to understand what exactly Hashem is. But what we do know about Hashem is what he does. And we look at the results of his works. And this was what Avraham Avinu saw, because Avraham Avinu didn't see any miracles, like we had Mitzias Mitzrayim. Avraham Avinu looked at nature, and he studied nature, and he could see that wherever he went, he could see there's like an intelligence saying, I was here. A supernatural intelligence. And that wherever you have an orderly organization, where you see a consistency and a pattern, and you see an intelligence, then there's always some king in charge. There's always a president. There's always one individual. Never more than one. And that's how he comes to the idea of Hashem Echad. And we say this twice a day in the Shema. But how much can we really appreciate this importance? That if you come along and say that there's more than one power, that is complete abikasus and kafira. And then for the Jew, he says, I quote from Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, Ani Rishon Rani Achron Balodai Ein Elokim, and we quote this in the Yomim Laron Davening, I am first and I am last, and besides me there is no one but Hashem. And Hashem says this, and we know Hashem is true, and we know that Hashem is Emes. Hashem wouldn't mislead us. So no power can operate, Hashem says, without my sanction. And whoever will proclaim that he is like me, Hashem says, let him proclaim it. And nobody has ever come along since to proclaim that he is Hashem, who can do the same things. And it's interesting because David HaMelech says, Mikolos Maim Rabim Adirim Mishpareyom, Adib Amorim Hashem. When you look at nature, you become exalted and appreciate the ways of Hashem. But Eidos Secho Neem Numiot. But when you look at Eidos, that is the revelation. Ma'amad Har Sinai, the miracles, and so on. And that's why we have Pashtumei Nissa with Pesach and on the Gilah and Chanukah. All this is Eidus. Eidus Secho Nenu Mio. That gives us a very strong emuna. So the words of Rav Nieto in his Eish Dos, in looking at this so-called Rabbi Hayun on the Trinity, says, by my life, this is mischief and iniquity under his tongue. The Christian view is closer to ours than his view. They believe like us that God is Ein Sof and the first cause. So according to Hayun, he is only the secondary cause, and if Christians knew his views, they would burn him at the stake. That was still the time when Christians were burning people at the stake for not adopting their faith. And Rav Nieto warns against the interpretations of the Zohar, that the Kabbalah is very easy to misinterpret, because there are various phrases in the Kabbalah which could be misconstrued and misunderstood. There's one called Talas Nishmosin, three souls. So he chaps on this, and it's very important to understand that when you enter the Kabbalah, as this fellow Hayun did, to keep to the idea of Hashem Echad or Shema Echad. As it happened, although in Amsterdam there were rabbis there who gave a sort of heksha to this Hayun, afterwards they realized that he was a hoax. On Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev in the year 1703, Rav Nieto gave a drosha. It wasn't actually in the shul of Bevis Marks itself. Many say it was actually in the orphanage which the shul had founded. And he visited there regularly and he gave a drosha. And various members of the community were present. And in that sermon, he spoke about the idea of nature. Because he said people have a misunderstanding as to what nature really is. He said the word is only 400-500 years old, or the concept that people attribute to the idea of nature. And this mistake carries on now hundreds of years later. If you were now to Google the word nature, what would you come up with? And it's amazing how people keep going on about this word nature as though it's some power of its own. Where he said that is not the case, and it's a great mistake. Yes, the Kuzari Rishon actually deals with it, and the Kol Yehuda in chapter 1 on paragraph 69, where he says that Hashem is the real nature, stamping with his seal the shapes of all created things. Yes, but yeah, he was referring to that in his sermon, but he went into the step of saying that Hashem is nature. So just as background, if you were to Google the word nature, you'll see how this Avodah Zarah carries on nowadays. If you go into Wikipedia, it says nature is everything that wasn't made by man. But that is really sad. You've got to substitute the word nature with Hashem Yisparach. Hashem created everything which isn't made by man. Or there's this thing about viruses and bacteria. You get these phrases. Researchers determined how nature arranges charged particles in a thin layer around a sphere. Nature arranges things. It orderly does things. Or there was a scientist called Joseph Crutch, who died in 1970, and he said, the famous balance of nature is the most extraordinary of all cybernetic systems. It is self-regulated. This is how the Goyim are viewing nature. Even religious Christians are viewing nature. I remember when I once had some ear trouble some years ago, and my doctor referred me to the Ear, Nose and Throat Hospital. And I saw there a Chinese doctor. And the problem I had was I was getting frequent ear infections. And so this doctor said to me, make sure that whatever you do, don't interfere with your earwax. Even though it irritates you and it might be excessive, don't touch it. He said, because it's specially designed to kill the bacteria. I said, I beg your pardon? He said, it's specially designed to kill the bacteria. And I was walking out of the hospital that day, I thought, wow. Specially designed. I said, by whom? By whom? Well, nature. This is the unfortunate misleading statement which is prevailing nowadays. And there's even this poetry which you can see on the internet by someone called John Tiong Shang Hu, and he says, nature is one great intelligence. It never puts anybody's nose on his foot. Or his foot on his head. Nature is such a great intelligence. All things go according to its secret plans. Not a single thing happens without a reason. And this is the misleading idea which was going on the ideas of nature then in the year 1703. So what did Rav Nieto say? He said, look, it's true that in certain ways at certain times Hashem might give exceptions to nature because of the nisim which should happen. And there's a Gemara about this. The Gemara there's a Bereishis Rabbah, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yirmiyah say that Hashem made stipulations with the sea and with heaven and with earth, that they should act in certain ways at certain times. But that doesn't mean that Hashem leaves to nature to run by itself necessarily. The Gemara of Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Daled says, but stolen wheat grows just in the same way as non-stolen wheat. So ha'olam kiminhago nohug, the world carries on in a certain pattern. But that might give you the idea of what nature is in carrying on by itself. Well, what Rav Nieto did was he quoted Tehillim Kuf Mem Zayin, which we say every morning in our Pesukei Dezimra, ha'machasa shamayim ba'ovim, one who covers the sky with clouds, hamechin la'oretz motor, one who prepares rain for the earth, hamatzmiach harim chotzim, makes mountains spring with grass, hanoseh shela katzomeh, the snow is like fleece, kefoka ka'ifa yafazeh, the frost is like ashes, mashinikacho kefitim, and that's talking about the hailstones. Hashem is doing everything. He's machaseh, mechin, and matzmiach. Now anyway, he said in his sermon, in a 10-minute sermon, God is nature, because Hashem is really doing everything. And there's one guy in the audience called Zarfati who said, this is Abikarsus. This is the philosophy of Baruch Spinoza, who was excommunicated for his heretical views, who spoke about nature in various terms. And this Zarfati stoked up a big row in the Bevismark synagogue, saying that what Rav Nieto said was Abikarsus. And This is our fussy fella. He said, because he was saying that God is nature and nature is God. And he was saying that God is therefore something which is he was claiming that what Rav Nietzsche said was that the sun is the God, or that the clouds are the God, because that is nature which is running everything. And that was the misunderstanding which arose. And a very big row erupted. And to cut a long story short, there were certain breakaways of the community who at first were excommunicated by the Mahamad, the Board of Management, but then with enough pressure they said that what Rav Nieto said has to go before a Beis Din, but not any Beis Din in London, because well, the Ashkenazi one hadn't even formed yet. And although there was a Kehilla growing at Mitre Court, which was eventually called the Great Synagogue, so it was decided that the matter should be brought before the Beis Din of Amsterdam, which was the Sephardi Beis Din of Europe. Amsterdam was where many Spanish had come from. However, things did not go according to plan. For some reason, it didn't go ahead. One of the rabbis on the Amsterdam Beis Din was someone called Solomon Ayalon, who was the previous rabbi in London at Crete Church Lane. And it turned out that he had some views which leaned towards views which were expressed by the Shabtai Tzvi. So not every rabbi was kosher in those days. And so it turned out that the Amsterdam Beis Din just didn't go ahead and deal with it. They stalled. And there was still pressure going on, what should be done. So in the Ashkenazi shul, which had then been developing, there was a big macha who was coordinating between the two shuls, called a Reb Arbela, a very rich man, and he said, why don't you go to the Chacham Tzvi? The Chacham Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, who was the Rav in Altona, which was a suburb of Hamburg. And he was the only Rav ever who was given the title of Chacham by the Sephardim. The Sephardim always gave their Rav the title of Chacham, and this was the only Ashkenazi, because they had such a high regard for him. So it was agreed that they go to the Chacham Tzvi, and the Tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi in Simon Yud Ches is about this very subject. Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi deals with the question from the Parnasim, Umanhigim, Asher Bekila Kadolin Londrish, but Anglia Angliter, and that the Kahal Kadosh Shari Shemaim, the Bevis Mark Synagogue is called Kila Shari Shemaim, Ashir Be'er HaGedola Londrish. And he deals with this issue about the Chocham Hamaroman Vanale Rav David Nieto of Beis Din, Umeret Tzedek, the Kila Kadosh Shari Shemaim, and he gave a Darosha about the idea of Loshon Laz, which is Teva, that this is an expression which has only existed for a relatively short period of time. And he emphatically said that what he's saying was what David HaMelech said in the Mizmor Kuf Mem Zayim, Hamachasa Shemayim Ovin, as we already quoted, that this is Hashem creating the world and running nature, and therefore Hashem is nature. Elisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshi Baruch Hu Yisparach Marid HaGoshem. He is doing everything. It's really all one and the same thing. And that this is Das Yishav Chasido Kadosha Ashela Yaminu Bohem Karaim Abikorsim. Anyone who doesn't believe in this are like Karaites or Abikorsim. So I'll now jump over to his Teshuvah, but it's quite, the question itself is developed in quite a long way. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Vazon Mikani Re'emim Abetzei Kinim. Hashem is feeding all sorts of creatures from the eggs of Kinim, which you can't even see, till the great big animal, the Re'em. And he says, what he says is Bocha B'tov Tuv Tam B'das. What Rav Nieto said is perfectly correct and true. When Yishmati V'lovin Tzilinos Harin Olov. I can't understand these people who are rebelling. Actually, according to the biographer Israel Solomons, this guy Zafrati was really a bit of a saboteur who wanted to stoke up trouble, who felt that Rav Nieto was too frum for them, and he wanted some other one to be replaced, the previous Rav, who was a bit of a saboteur, and therefore there was a hidden agenda. That's what the biographer writes. But he says, Hashem is Mashiach Baruch Hu Yisparach Maridah Goshem, and he says all these other enyonim. He quotes the Shloha HaKadosh, who talks about in his Sefer, spread B'chol Tefus as Yisrael, in the way Hashem deals with nature, and he vindicates Rav Nieto, he exonerates him. and praises him. This word teva, there are really two interpretations of the word teva. You can talk about teva, and in fact Rav Nieto spoke about two Latin expressions of what teva is, natura naturans, or naturel as a universal, and that there's this confusion between these two kinds. But chayfetz v'rotzen hamelech hakadosh b'tzam nochun u'baro, Hashem wants it that everything is run under him, and that what Rav David Nieto has said is perfectly true, and should be upheld, and he says that we should be given a yayasher kocho v'chelo, a shkoyach for everything he has written. And this is something which is very important for everyone to follow. And in order that there's no debate about this anymore, he said, I'm bringing two other rabbonim of the Beis Din with me to sign this teshuva, Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi Ben Yaakov in Hamburg in the year Tov Samach Aleph. So that was the controversy. But when he had this controversy going on, within weeks of his drasha, he wrote his Sefer De La Divina Providencia, where he amplified on his arguments, and he wrote it in Spanish. So anyone who can speak Spanish, it's useful. But he quotes many psukim written in Hebrew. He got the local printer, James Dover of Tower Hill, to set up a Hebrew printing press that he could print for him in Hebrew as well. And amplifies on this whole subject about Hashem being nature, and that's quoting lots and lots of interesting sources. Fascinating to see what was going on in London at that time. The whole community was speaking Spanish. They were not speaking English yet.
Actually, I thought it was Portuguese.
Many of them spoke Portuguese.
I thought it was set up for Portuguese Jews.
Yes, but the Sefer of the Second Kuzari, he wrote Spanish on one side and Hebrew on the other side. It seems that they were speaking both languages. This Sefer he wrote in Spanish. Eshdos he wrote both in Spanish and in Loshon HaKodesh. So his Paschalogia apparently was written in Italian. And his refutation against the archbishop was written purely in Spanish, but it was translated in 1845 into English. There were other Sfarim he wrote in Hebrew, but he wanted to reach out to the masses, and he wanted to speak in the language that they understood. So the important thing he said was that these verbs of David HaMelech are transitive verbs. Hashem is Meichin La'oretz Motzo, HaMatzmiach Orim Chotze, Mechase. All these words, Matzmiach, they are transitive. Transitive means that following the verb is the noun. That Hashem is the subject. He is doing these things. And it's very important to understand this Hebrew grammar of what the transitive verb is. It's absurd, he says, to say that Hashem is a cloud, that Hashem is drops of rain. So he quotes the Kuzari Rishon, as you did, Howard, on, and the Kol Yehuda Perush there amplifies on this. So that brings out through the Chacham Tzvi and beyond. And in the Sefer Kuzari Sheni, which we'll deal more with, as I said, on another occasion, he saw how the Maranos, the Anusim, were coming to England and seeing how they had been keeping various traditions, but they were ignoring the oral law, the Torah Shebal Peh. And he was saying how you cannot keep to the Torah without the Torah Shebal Peh. To coin the words of Rav Shimshon and Ful Hirsch, the written Torah are like the notes of the lecture. When you read the Chumash, you can't really understand it unless you've been in the lecture. The Torah Shebal Peh is to explain the whole wider concepts. So Cain killed Hevel, but where in the Torah did it say you may not murder before the time of Cain? Cain must have been told that you're not allowed to kill, otherwise he wouldn't have been punished for killing Hevel. And another idea he brings in his Sefer is, the Torah says, on Sukkot you shall bring a beautiful fruit, a pre-Eitz Hador. Where in the Torah, anywhere in the Torah, does it say that you bring an Esrog? Nowhere. And yet everybody in the world agrees that the beautiful fruit that you bring is not a lemon or an apple, but it's an Esrog. And he shows one proof after another how the Torah Shebal Peh is convincingly the true thing, the Shas, Mishnah, Gemara, is all part and parcel of the Torah Shevik Sav, and you cannot divorce one from the other. And in his fifth chapter of the Kuzari Sheni, he deals exclusively with his pet subject, the calendar. And in fact, he fixed the times for London for the beginning of Shabbos and the end of Shabbos. And his son and his grandchildren and great-grandchildren carried on the tradition of fixing the times to London right through to the beginning of the 20th century, when the United Synagogue, on those principles, were basing its times on. And now the times for the United Synagogue Luach and the Adas Luach are fixed by Dr. Kohn, who is the father of our Rav Shlita. So there's a nice connection. I can't go in too much detail on the Archbishop's crazy words on preaching to the poor Jewish people who are at these auto-da-fés and about to be burnt at the stake, but I'll just quote some of the beauty of the way he writes when he refutes the Archbishop. He said, "It would have been much easier," he says to the Archbishop, "if you would have said to the Jews, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, if you are so keen to quote from our Bible, that the Lord is one, rather than to give these unfortunate prisoners of the tyrannical Inquisition to try and understand misinterpretations where you try and say that the Lord is three. Gracious heaven, how truly absurd must it appear to all impartial persons when they see a man eminent in his profession, of high rank as an archbishop, disputing with persons who can't dare not answer him. He quotes books that they are not allowed to read." Just remember what it was like at the time of the Spanish Inquisition. "They were burning us for him. And with all this, he finds it requisite to distort and mutilate passages of our holy scriptures in order to prove what he attempts to inculcate. I appeal to all learned and unprejudiced men living in countries where they are not constrained to circumscribe the ideas at the will of four illiterate inquisitors, if such a display would not be more fit for a fast than a sermon, for a theatre than a pulpit. They call us blind because we will not yield to their bigotry, because we don't cede to the leading article of our faith, to their tortuous and perverted expositions. But what ought they to be called who corrupt the sacred text, who lay hold of part of a chapter, discourse, proposition, verse, without noticing the context? Because all Christianity is based on taking verses out of context. Look at the way they look at Isaiah and about Tehillim and all other places. They take everything out of context without even knowing how to translate. They don't even know that the word Alma means a woman and not a virgin. Does the learned archbishop imagine," a bit of sarcastic flattery there, "does the learned archbishop imagine that this course will convince any Jew? Fascinating material to read." Rav David Nieto was one of the unknown rabbis who was one of the greatest rabbis ever seen by this country. He is buried in Mile End, behind the Queen Mary College in the old Sephardi Cemetery. He was niftar on the 28th of Teves in the year 1728. And perhaps I'll end off with just one quote from his De la Divina Providencia, on page 45, where he says that when we end Shabbos, we say Baruch Me'orei Ha'esh. Alright, there are different reasons why we make this bracha over the flame. We want to distinguish between the non-melacha of Shabbos and the melacha we do on the weekday. We commemorate Adam HaRishon, who created fire by striking two flint stones on Motzoi Shabbos. There are various reasons why we make this bracha. What is the idea behind saying Baruch Me'orei Ha'esh? Because when we're spending Shabbos in tranquility, we commemorate the creation. We stop everything. Hashem created the world, and we recognize that Hashem is the creator. But when we start our week, and we go back to work, and we are doing our creative activities, let us not think that our income comes to us by the reason of our hard work. Let us not think that things are happening as a direct result of, quote, nature, unquote. That even during the week, when we're doing malacha and we're doing creative activity, Baruch Me'orei Ha'esh, Hashem is really the one who is nature. And that this word nature is a misconception constantly repeated to our children, even in religious schools, where they say nature designed this, and nature is intelligent in that, and nature gives us an amazing pattern. It is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we ever forego the fact and misunderstand that fact, we should always know that it's Hashem who creates everything. And even amongst religious Jews, we have to destroy this idea that there is such a thing as intelligent nature. It's just a load of codswallop. And with that, we can thank Rav David Nieto for his writings, for reaching out, and not just writing in the Hebrew language, but showing the world how you can deal with the secular and challenge it and show that everything is the Ratzon Hashem. He himself was a doctor. He studied medicine. He himself was one who could write in various different languages. But above all, he was uncompromising. And in a way, he was dealing with like the reform of his time, 100 years before the reform started. He was like the Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch of his time. And for that, we have to be grateful. And if anyone wants copies of his writings, they're all available. Anyone who wants them. I've got them from the British Museum Library, they're in the Hebrew University Library. Mossad Rav Kook have reproduced some of his works, and he is a person as a Godel Hadar of his time. For him we should be grateful. Thank you very much.